All right.
There we go.
We are back.
It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, welcome everyone to Firebrand Pursuit. It's nice to have you all back. It's nice to be back. How about you, Kai? How are you doing over there?
Doing good. Yeah. Nice. And it's good to be back. Last time we recorded, last time was good, but it was rough for me. I realized a couple days after we recorded that I was at the beginning of getting a sinus infection, and so that's why I wasn't feeling as great as I wanted to when we were recording. I was kind of getting right into that.
Yeah, we've been out of touch a little bit. So for everyone that's listening, we're about to both get updates on each other that we don't know what's been going on since we recorded.
Yeah.
So it's going to be cool. And then we got some topics to talk about later. But what's been going on with you since we recorded? What's been happening? I've heard some things, but I don't know the details.
Yeah. So I'll, you know, some of this, but for everybody else, since last time we recorded, I moved from Northern California to Huntington Beach in Southern California. I am interning at the Calvary Chapel School of Worship this school year, helping out there. And so I have moved in. We started school earlier this week. I got a job that I will start on Monday.
What job?
So yeah, a lot. It's at a place called Moon Goat Coffee.
Oh, sick.
In Costa Mesa. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So as far as the intern, what are you doing there?
Yeah, for that, we TA classes, like take attendance and help out the teachers with whatever like equipment they need set up, or like slides, doing sound, setting up mics and whiteboards and projectors and all that kind of stuff. Just being there to help out. We plan and run student events, like parties and game nights, movie nights, beach days, anything like that. It's kind of our job to do stuff like that. We help do worship and lead small groups for our weekly chapels. I'm living at the guys' house. So I'm living with 12 other guys, and 8 of those are students.
Wow.
So I'm kind of overseeing the house. I'll kind of transition more into that later in the year, but just, yeah, being around and being there for the guys.
Are the other guys in the house students right now, or are they also interns?
8 of them are students. The guy that is currently running the house was an intern last year.
Gotcha.
And then there's 2 other guys that are living here that they're not. One of them graduated the school of worship last year, and the other guy has just kind of been around at the house for a while, so he's around and he helps run the place as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And how
yeah,
long?
It's been a...
I was just gonna say,
it's been a busy couple of weeks, but it's been pretty good.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I was going to say, like, how long did it take you to move? Because it was like I heard about it, and the next thing I knew you were there. Like 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, so it was a... Like, I drove down with my parents 2 weeks ago today, actually.
Dang!
And it's been exactly 2 weeks now. But we drove down in a day, and we got here at, like, 6:30 in the evening, and I moved all my stuff in, and that was kind of it. That was
wow.
I kind of, like, the last couple of weeks has been a process of still unpacking boxes and distributing things to places, but
adjusting.
In various states of unpacking. But it was pretty quick.
Nice. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Oh man.
Yeah. It's been good.
Very cool.
So,
very cool.
Yeah. How about you? What's your life been the last couple of weeks?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me at some point, but it was like trying to prepare myself. Like, how am I going to tackle this? I'm going to have to keep it simple. It's been crazy. A lot of transition as well. Because the last time we recorded, like the last time we really were able to talk, I was sitting in my car outside Starbucks, like halfway moving half of my stuff down to basically Modesto.
Right.
And,
okay.
So completed the move. Had a couple days to kind of relax down there. Did find a church. That's pretty cool. I meant to ask you that. We'll circle back to that. Found
for
one.
Sure.
Been going there, and then started school. So for the listeners that don't know, I'm in a doctorate of physical therapy program, and it's kicking my butt. I'm like 2 weeks in, and it is a lot of work. I knew it was gonna be, but until you're doing it, it's kind of hard to like imagine it. And I can imagine it now.
Yeah.
So definitely has held me up on some of the editing. So for those of you that are finally you dropped this episode, sorry for the wait. We're going to make it worth your while. But it's been great. You know, my wife Sarah and I moved down there, and we've gotten adjusted. And it's kind of the pay it forward time of our life. We're putting the time in on the school and let it pay off later. And for pay sure. off the student debt, too. That's going to be but it's been cool learning a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Physical therapy. It's like when you're in undergrad, you don't learn anything pretty much. I mean, very, very little about the profession. So it's like I'm finally learning what I've been chasing this whole time. And so it's cool.
Very cool.
Very blessed.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Sorry for everyone that's been waiting for this. As Kai and I both get a little more adjusted to these new schedules and regular with it, we're going to be able to put these episodes out on a regular basis. So you'll be able to expect it and hold us accountable. But I'm not making any promises yet. I'll give you my word when it's time. It's not time yet. So anyways, today we've got a couple topics. As you can see, we don't have a guest. We're going to do some episodes like that once in a while. If you want to be that guest, go ahead and reach out to us at firebrandpursuit@gmail.com, or you can message us on Instagram, any way. We put it all at the bottom of the YouTube videos. We put it in the descriptions of the podcast. So even if there's just a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about, send it in. We'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, totally.
I'm not making any promises, but we'll do our best. So Kai, you had something ready for today. Let's go for it. I have no idea what you're going to talk about.
For sure. Yeah. This is something that it's not super, super refined, but I just thought it might be cool to throw it out there and have a little discussion on it, because it's something that I've been thinking about for a long time, and I've been just wanting to discuss with people and get other people's thoughts and ideas on and kind of dive into myself. And I haven't done a whole lot of diving into it yet, but I do have some thoughts on it, and that's kind of I would say morality in a Christian's personal life and their behavior and their speech. For me, just an observation I've made, just in life, but particularly in the last couple of years, especially in ministry, is that something that's common for Christians is a way of joking and speaking that's, I guess, kind of in a crude or sexual way, and sexual joking is not super it's kind of common, at least I've noticed, and it can be in various levels of extremity or harshness, but I just noticed that it's something that is common among Christians and specifically people in ministry, and I think there's probably a variety of reasons why and why it's accepted and not talked about as much as I might think it could be or should be. But just contrasting that with the obvious standard that we are to hold ourselves to as Christians, it's just something I've thought about a lot and pondered, and kind of, you know, where's the is there a line? Where's the line of what's accepted or what should be what we should be, how we should be conducting ourselves in that manner.
Point. Yeah. So
I gotta.
What's the scripture? I know the scripture. I think you have it. I'm sure you have it. It's about the obscene.
I pulled. It's Ephesians 5:4. Okay, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. There's a couple others, but that's the main one.
Yeah, man. I'll take a crack at it real quick, because it's something that I've really considered, because I joke. I just like to joke. I'm a joker. You worked with me. I kind of joked all the time, and I would always have to kind of qualify it with hey, you know, sometimes I definitely go too far, so call me out. You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry ahead of time, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's definitely been some times in my life where it's I don't really want to joke the way that I used to joke, and have to kind of refine that and change that. But to key in on what you were saying, so what have you noticed, you know, when, where? That's kind of a good question for me, because it's one thing if it's happening at church, and I think, and another thing if it's happening in your private life, maybe not with other Christians. And I would say that, you know, that's probably the more dangerous one, because you're painting a picture of Christianity for those people. But where have you noticed that going on?
Sure. Yeah, I've noticed it in, I'd say, a few different settings. Christians just, like, hanging out with other Christians, just in, like, a casual setting. There have been times where I've noticed it, like, in the church.
Interesting.
Yeah, even, like, in, like, a, like, youth group is a setting as well, because that stuff's rampant amongst high schoolers, I don't know. I've noticed it in, like, high schoolers as well, but, like, in leadership too,
when you're noticing it, is it kind of crossing a line, do you think? Is that what's kind of, like, leaving it on your heart? Some of it is, like, a little too coarse? Or what are your thoughts there? I'm just trying to paint the picture of what you're thinking. I keep using that analogy today, paint the picture. I'm trying to
understand
a little more clearly, like, what you're going through.
For sure. Yeah, no, there are definitely times where I've seen it and noticed it cross a line. And I've struggled with... one, like, just acknowledging that and, like seeing, like, where the line is, but also, like, I think for myself, because I grew up, I was homeschooled. I lived in Hungary for a lot of my childhood. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was sheltered to a sense, but also not, because I saw a lot in the world, so I don't think I'm, like, super sheltered, like, some people maybe, I don't know. It's just something that is always kind of, not that I don't ever joke like that, because I definitely do, but it's something that has always kind of left, I don't know, not always, like, appealed to me in that kind of way. So, like, being around it, I've always just wondered, like when it crosses a line, like, how should I deal with it? How should I, like, say something? And then I'm also not, like, a super outgoing person, so, like, it scares me to be a person that speaks up.
A little confrontational.
Speaks up in the crowd of people who, like, are, to be the one person that'll speak up and say something that's controversial to the majority. So I don't know. That's kind of where I've been coming from with it and trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you, because listening to you, I definitely can think of even some specific occasions where I've dealt with, like, that issue, but I come from the opposite direction. Like, I am confrontational, so I have to, like, be sure that I'm not going out of my way, going too far. You know, I got to make sure it's the right time, the right way. Because it's easy for me to just initiate that. So I'm like, hey, this was not cool, or, you know, whatever. And so sometimes it's like, that worth the battle? Sometimes it's, like, been the opposite, in that I'm the one who made the joke, and so I have to, like, apologize. And there's been times where I've, like, said things or made jokes and had to actually go back to the person that I said it to and, like, hey, that was not right of me, I'm sorry, you know, and call me out on that, you know. So I definitely see it from both ways, but yeah, you're in a kind of a unique position. It kind of comes down to, like you're saying, like, communication, like having that that readiness, that when it's time, when you know it's time, maybe you've considered it in prayer, maybe you've sought counsel on it, and you know, okay, now I got to talk to that person. Man, that's a tough position sometimes, especially if it's someone in authority, which it's another issue, because it depends on that person. Like, they might have trained you not to do that, or they might be open to it.
Right.
So that's a tough one.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man, I see someone in the house. What's up, dude? In the slider there.
Oh, can you see? Okay. Can you see over there?
I don't know if the viewers will be able to. It might clip it, but
yeah. What I can see right now is we're both just squares, so I can't see any farther than like right here.
Oh, dang. That's crazy. Yeah, I can definitely see like to the edge, but probably it'll be okay. So for the viewers that I just derailed the conversation over this, I can see people in the house and they're waving at me. But anyways, getting back on track, my bad. I might edit that out. I think the next question is, you know, if you're starting to get that sense that something's going on, and that if it is, I'm going to have to talk to this person. That's one deal you'll have to. And I would say that's if for people that are going through that, seek some counsel. You don't have to give them details, but find a believer that's older, that's not dealing with this problem right now, not involved in that situation, and just get some counsel on that. Like, what do you think? You know, does this cross the line? But that's my next question for you. How do you get the sense of, okay, this is crossing the line? Because I can't really ask you to, like, give me an example.
Right, yeah.
Save the joke. Save the jokes. Tough one.
Yeah, no, it is a tough one because it's, like, it's where kind of trying to, like, figure out, you know, what does that verse specifically speak to, and so like what does the Bible have to say about that specifically, and then how does that translate practically into you know what we're experiencing and like the specific stuff.
I'll jump in, give you some time to think about it. So
for sure,
when I've had to deal with this, I think for me, you know, you get that sense. It starts to, like, kind of sink in, and you find yourself thinking about, like, that didn't really sit right with me. And, I mean, sometimes I've been a party to it. So it's like I'm thinking about it not like a, aha, gotcha, I'm going to go get that guy now because he did this. It really – and that's one of my favorite things that I've learned in my – you know, the portion of my life that I've been a Christian is – it's usually not vengeance that God is wanting us to, like, seek out. It's not vengeance, period. That's going to be down the line. But for us, it's more restoration. So for me, that gives me, like, a step back to have some clarity, you know, on my actions, on their actions. So if I'm involved, you know, it helps me to kind of de-escalate the initial fear of, like, oh, man, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want this to look bad, you know. Because it might. And it's healthy to have that step back and think, okay, if this is going on and it's a problem, whether or not I'm a part of it, the outcome that we're looking for is that restoration. So that gives me a nice point of view to think about, is this really a problem? And ultimately, to me, what matters is this making Jesus look bad? If someone who doesn't go to our church hears that, are they going to think less of our church and therefore Jesus, or the only way that they're going to hear about Jesus? So that's where I'll start to think about it. And then if the answer is like, yes, this is a problem, then it also changes the approach, because I'm not looking to just bust that person's chops. I want the best for them. I want the best for me. I want the best for the church, period, for Jesus. And so then I can go back to that person and be like, hey, let's talk about this. You know, I laughed. I was there with you. I didn't say anything then. You get on the same level with them. Because, you know, why not? I mean, if you're really not responsible for it, then you can say that. But if you didn't say anything, then for me, it's like, yeah, I was a party to that. I let it happen. So then you get on the same level with that person. Say, hey, I think that's a problem. I don't think we should do that anymore. And then it's just like a sense of, how does that go? And that's a whole other thing, right? We can talk about, like, how people receive that, because certainly there's been times where I've not received things like that well, and as I've gotten older, I hope I do better. But what do you think about
for
that?
For sure.
That was a lot, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I totally get that, and I agree with that, and that's definitely where I've noticed it before, just kind of, you know, getting to a point where it's like, this is kind of a little uncomfortable, and it's not like it's, there are times like where it just happens in passing and like, it's just a joke and it doesn't happen often, but I've been in settings where it's like a regular thing that kind of takes place regularly. And it's,
yeah,
like, it's just, it, like you said, it comes down to how we as like Christians are presenting ourselves, and especially like we talked about, like the different, circumstances that can happen in, like, you know, whether we're, like, Christians hanging out with Christians casually or Christians presenting ourselves to non-believers. And I think there definitely can be consideration taken in what setting it's happening in. But I've seen it, like, because I think even if it is, like, obviously we don't want to present ourselves badly to non-believers, because then we're presenting our faith and as representatives of Jesus Christ, we're presenting, you know, Jesus as something that he's not. But then I think if it's something that is habitual or commonplace amongst Christians, then it becomes, there's kind of a point where, like, if you're living like you have this, like, life and way that you speak and live amongst yourselves, and then you have to turn it off and not be that when you're around somebody else. It's kind of it all becomes one at a certain point, I think. And so, like, the way we conduct ourselves, that's what I was trying to
find. You got it.
The way we conduct ourselves amongst ourselves as believers is like formative to how we're going to conduct ourselves around everybody else. So I think, like,
totally. So if you're cool with it with believers, you're going to be cool with it outside, where they're cool with way more.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
and another verse I was just mulling on and came up as I was doing some quick searches before we started was just Romans 12:2. It's, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Ooh, I think about that verse a lot, because it is, it's that renewing, it's that kind of refining the way that we do things, and sometimes it is like we all do this one thing and it's not good, and we all got to kind of make that change, but someone's got to be the one to step up and step out. So
exactly.
I wanted to just, I pulled up Ephesians 5 after you had mentioned it, and I want to go back to that, because as you were talking, I was just kind of glancing at a couple things, and it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to put it together like this for the listeners, because I think you brought up a great point, because we have a responsibility there, and I think this is like one really like zoomed in view of a pretty big responsibility. So I'm going to hit it real quick. Ephesians 5:4, you know, you mentioned that obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. And then if you jump down to verse 6, I mean, Paul states a bunch of different sins right here, but what we're talking about is right in the middle of them. Verse 4, in between 3 and 5. And verse 6, it says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. So, I mean, that connect the dots right there to that one. It says, don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. And that's, to me, that's the responsibility right there. Because he's saying, what Paul is trying to say is, you know, if you're not producing that light, that goodness, then you know it's not coming from God. It's coming from you or wherever, it's something dark. But if you have that light, if God is working in you, it's almost like shameful to not be displaying that. And so I love verse 10. It's like, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. So we all have that responsibility to be thinking about it, to be contemplating, you know, not incessantly, not obsessively, compulsively, but to just be thinking, you know, how am I acting? Are we doing this right? When I'm with these people, am I the same me that I am when I'm hands up praising in church, you know? And I think that's a big deal, and that it's easy to just not think about that ever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, thanks for, yeah, taking us more into the text. That's
totally
good.
Totally. Try to work a little more of that into the podcast, where it's all about.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, any last thoughts before we move on?
No. That was great. That's something. Maybe that'll be a cool little intro to that, and maybe we can come back to it in a future podcast. Because that's something I really want to dive into and do some deeper studying and consideration on. So,
yeah. We did pretty good for having like a one line note, though. I'm looking at the page now. So not bad. All right.
Right so, on. Yeah, so you had a you came with the topic as well.
I did indeed. And I'm just trying to like formulate how to put it together. I think I'm going to have to go with, you know, what does it mean to do well for the Lord? And that's something that I've thought about, I've sought counsel about. And so it's just something that it's kind of on my mind all the time because I've really been diving in and trying to figure out what that looks like in my life. And so I wanted to put it out here because this is definitely one that we'll have to revisit. But I'm going to jump into a text here. John 14:15. And it says, if you love me, obey the commandments. And that's Jesus talking. And that's kind of where I started in this walk. It's like, oh, you just got to do what he says, you know. And that is natural, I think, when you start out as a Christian. I don't know. It might just be my personality. But whatever I'm doing, I don't want to just do it. I want to be, like, great at it. So, like, I just kind of pour myself into whatever I'm doing. And it was funny. I was sitting in my very first quiz in my human anatomy class. And people were like, oh, man. Just need an 80 to survive. And I was like, 100 or die. Like, I want to be the best at this. And they were all cracking up. I was joking. I got close, but I didn't get it. But, you know, even more so when it comes to, you know, serving Jesus, it's like, man, I want to do well. What does that look like? Yeah. And so for a new believer, where we all kind of start, I think it's like, I just got to listen to him, you know? So that's where I kind of pulled in John 14:15. What do you think about that, though?
Yeah. Man, let me pull that up real quick.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And just for everyone's ease, I'm using NLT usually just because it's kind of common language.
Cool.
But I get into the word for word. You know, we go King James. we do that. Did I say King's James? King James.
Yeah, yeah.
My bad.
New King.
My mouth's a little dry. I don't have any water. Yeah, new. I'm working on my own translation, everybody. Just don't worry. It's awesome. I love it. It's great for me.
Do you have any new revelation, personal revelation?
Yeah. Yeah, there's only one book. Only one book. So, be ready. We're starting a cult.
Oh, gosh. Man, that's it's good. And I've definitely gone down different points in my life, like trails of thinking a lot about that, and like, just how we, like, that everything we do is for Christ, and you know, I am kind of the same way in that, like, anything I get into, I kind of want to, like, go 100%, like, not get half into it, but just, like, dive in and do the best and all that I can in it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's good in itself, but, like, that's kind of for my own, like, my own,
my satisfaction, own, maybe.
Yeah. Satisfaction, or just, like, you know, I don't want to, for myself, I don't want to show that I'm only subpar at this, but.
That's a good point.
Like,
that's a good point. Hold on to that, but, because that's coming back in this conversation.
Okay.
That's
right
good.
On. Yeah. But I think, like, effort-wise and, like, how much, like, we, like, how we personally are doing, or, like, how much effort we're putting into each thing, I think, like, there can be areas of life where we do, like, see things as lesser and, you know, maybe not worthy of like, doing our all. But I think we are called to, we are, like, we, and all that we do, we represent the Lord and represent God, so we should be putting our all into each thing, because, you know, whether or not we are successful or not in the end, that's not really up to us, but, you know, but the how hard we work at it is up to us.
Yeah, that's coming back, too. That's coming back, too. Because following that train of thought, you know, that's kind of like, again, in that natural first step of, I just got to listen, you can take that and run with it, I think, too far in, like, a legalism way, to where, like, it's like you're just kind of haunted by the things that you know you're supposed to do, and when you're having trouble doing them, or you feel like you're not reading enough or not praying enough, it just, it's like hounds you and wears you out. And so the next scripture for me is like where that takes me. Okay, so let me read this real quick. So we're going to Matthew 25. It's going to be 14 through 30 real quick. I'm going to tell a little story and then be thinking about that. Like, wanting to do well, we're doing your best. Okay, think about that. And then as soon as I'm done with the story, just fire off with it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Sounds pretty good. All right, moving on. The servant who received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." We all know where this is going. not that good. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate." Side topic, we'll talk about that later. "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant out into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's like, dang.
Rough.
All right, take a crack at it, man. Take a crack. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I've heard that taught, I mean, having gone through a school of ministry that is focused around, you know, cultivating our talents and our giftings, that I've heard that taught on a few times. And I think you can, you know, it's funny that they do refer to the, I don't know if it was, they just refer to it as, like silver or money here, but in some translation they do the currency is referred to as a talent.
Yeah.
So, which is, because like in, if you're in ministry or something like that, like it or really any occupation, like it just, like, God has gifted each of us with different things, you know, whether that's music or a gift of teaching or a gift of exhortation or a gift of plumbing or banking or accounting or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And you can either use those things that you've been gifted in and invest them and use them for God's glory, or you can, you know, like sit in your room, like, and just kind of, I don't know, like, just
not
write songs for yourself, or just kind of just keep it and hold it in a single place and not do anything that'll grow it or make any gains for the kingdom of it.
I think that's one of, like, the two possible situations, is like that you have these talents, these giftings, and you're not using them. It's funny because we were at church earlier today and there was some talk about specifically that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're either going to end up in that situation, and this is my opinion, I could be off, I'm willing to, like, send me an email, those of you that are listening, what do you think about this? But you'll either end up as that, like, not using the talents as well as you could, or that, like, the fear of that happening and being the servant that gets tossed out you just work, drive, you, and it, you have like this idea of this accomplishment that you need to make. And it's maybe vague. It's maybe mm-hmm. super clear. Maybe it's like, I want to have the best podcast ever. but
yeah,
but in all reality, it's like you drive yourself so hard. It's like, I'm like the worst, like, at just thinking, man, I got to do more. I got to push harder. I got to give more. And, you know, in some ways that self-motivation is good. It's a good thing to have, but I definitely have gone overboard with it. And so that's why I like pulled the scripture out, because that's kind of where I was at one point, not even that long ago. Like, man, I just want to do well. I want to do more. I feel like I'm not doing enough. And it got to the point where I was like feeling so burnt out. I was like, man, I got to talk mm-hmm. to somebody about this now, because this ain't working.
For sure. Yeah.
And so it's like, what's the answer there? And so I got an answer to that and okay. You know, where I'm at now with it. But before I give that, mm-hmm. what are you thinking? How would you tackle that situation? It might have been easier for yeah. you if it was you.
I think for me, I've definitely been in places where I've like over invested myself and mm-hmm. I've burnt out. And I think there was a time, especially early on in my life, which is really just like a couple of years ago, but where I was very like very gung ho.
2015.
When I was still a teenager. Now I'm 22. Where, yeah, I was very gung-ho about, like, just doing everything I can. Like, every single opportunity, say yes to it. And because, like, not only because, like, I should be doing things with my talents for the Lord, but because I enjoy it, too. But, also, but like, there has to be a level of wisdom and restraint, I think, in how we do that. Because we can't overextend ourselves. And for me, I burnt out at a couple different points in life where I've just, you know, said yes to one too many youth groups or one too many weekly Bible studies. And there's only so much that you can do until you're doing it all, but you're not really there and you're not really able to fully be present and be giving your all to any one thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and just to hone that in, because you're like right on par with what I'm getting at. For me, mm-hmm. it was like what the counsel that I saw. It was a guy that I talk to about things sometimes, and he was just like, you know, I get that. You know, it's a great desire to want to do well, but you got to look at what God specifically asks. You know, what is that talent? What is that silver that He's given you? And he kind of pointed me towards like faithfulness. Like, what is doing well? You know, if you do all this stuff, you build an empire, you know, you do all this stuff, you get saved, but you never really knew God, then you're going to get there and He's going to say, hey, I never knew you. And I was like, you know, that kind of hit me. And I was like, oh, dang. Yeah. He was like, so start thinking about what does it mean to be faithful? And I think that's where you got to start with this. I'm going to jump into scripture right here. It's just a chapter before in Matthew. It's Matthew 24. 45 through 51. It says, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's some like pretty direct parallels to that first story. And so connecting it back, you know, full circle back to the very first scripture, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. What it's telling me is that you got to start with that faithfulness to the Lord. You got to desire that time with Him. Seek Him in prayer, seek Him in the Word and in your reading. And out of that, you know, there's like this overflow of taking care of the other servants, being there for the other believers. You know, there's a time for evangelism and there's a heart for that. But for me, at least, and, you know, this is where we'll revisit it as time goes on. But it's like, what am I doing to show that love to the other servants? Because to other Christians, because if I'm not doing anything, if it's all about me at that point, then everything I do, it's not for anyone else ever, and that's a problem. I think that's what I'm kind of learning, is like that faithfulness kind of produces that action. And I mean, there's a ton of scripture that talks about that. It's like, I know this, but sometimes for me, I just got to go through it sometimes to really get it down. But that's kind of where I've been at with that, because in my mind, it's like, I want to be awesome. I want to do all this crazy stuff and show up and be like, look, Jesus, look at this. And, but you know, you got to dial that back. I think in my life anyways, I got to dial that back and just think faithfulness. How am I going to be true to him? Do what he said, be close to him and seek him first, not seek all these accomplishments. Cause what you said earlier and why I wanted to not forget is there's an element of, I want to do all these big things cause it'll be awesome. And I'll feel so accomplished and I'll know, man, not many people could do this. When in reality, maybe all God wants is me to do some simple things that have an impact that no one will, that no one will ever know about. And I think that's a more important thing. And so I've been kind of learning my lesson in that, is kind of dialing back my own ambition and kind of surrendering that. Not that ambition is a bad thing, but it definitely in some parts of my life, it's gotten out of hand and led to that burnout.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that's really good and really key. And it is something that I've had to learn and kind of come to a peace, like going through, I'll back to the school of worship again, because like for me, that's a lot of where, like, especially my early times there in my first year, there was a lot of like comparison and like seeing other people do really well and not even like, and then, but also not like other students, like my peers, but just like, you know, other worship artists and people out there, like, you know, you go into worship school, you look up like people like Phil Wickham or big artists like King's Kaleidoscope Citizens, you know, just people like, and you think like, you know, what could God do? Like, could I be the next this person? Could I be the next big, right? The next, This Is Amazing Grace or something like that. And there are so many like cool opportunities, even as a student here, like that I've gotten to be a part of and I've gotten to see other people be a part of. But like, there was a point where, especially after I finished my year there and I moved back to Yuba City, where I realized like I have these giftings and like it's possible that God could use me to do something huge and be some, you know, hit songwriter or touring artist, but also like that wouldn't be any more important than if I just stayed home in Yuba City and led worship for the high school group for the rest of my life, if that's what God had for me, because he could use me there in people's lives just as importantly as he could use me writing some huge song. And so that's kind of the dichotomy between, like, you know, what is successfulness in the Christian life? And it's not huge, big things where, you know, not even like making like big money, but reaching big people or like having a big church or having, you know, a church that has 10,000 people, but that's not any better than just having a church of 10 people where you're faithfully discipling and teaching those people and being faithful to that. So it really is about just being faithful to what God has called you to, because people can be called to big things, but we can't force that or make that happen if we're not called to it.
Yeah, took the words right out of my mouth there, because it's that faithfulness, whether it's big or small, and you kind of look at different people in the Bible, and they're faithful when they're the king, and they're faithful when they're on the run, you know, like to talk of King David, and I think that's the key there, because there's people who he's raised up and they've been unfaithful and it just goes bad. There's people he never raised up that were unfaithful and it just goes bad. So it doesn't really matter like what you're doing. And I think that, you know, I'm going to have to do a study on that verse that says some of the most important now will be the least then, some of the least now will be the most important then. But you know, that's just kind of standing out to me in my mind right now, that like that has to do with that faithfulness. Like, are you faithfully serving at your church, cleaning the bathrooms, or are you like pursuing your own glory, trying to write the next, you know, How He Loves? No offense, John Mark. But you know, there's a serious difference in the heart there, and I think there's a serious difference in the way that God's going to see that. And so for me, it's kind of reshaped how I see doing well. So I just wanted to put that out there because I know, man, if there's someone listening right now and you're in that time where it's like trying to do my best, I want to do this crazy big stuff, you know, it might be like that much needed peace and kind of rest in the Lord to be able to back up and say, I'm just going to do my best to be faithful to what he's telling me, seek what he wants me to do, and do my best there, but not be pursuing my own glory, you know, and that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. I'm still working through that, you know, it's crazy.
And I would say, yeah, for sure. No, I've been there and I am still there for sure. But, I think just something as like an encouragement to someone who may be there is just, I think we think very long term and very like part of the future, and we feel, I know for me, when I've been in places where I've been had to, like, I feel like I've needed to be faithful to the smaller things, I think like too much of like, this is going to be it for the rest of my life. Like this is where I'm at and this is where I'll stay. Mm-hmm. But I think not that we all have something huge to move on to, but I think God used or can test our faithfulness in the small things in order for us to move on to bigger things. And so like if you have an ambition for something big and huge in your life and you feel like that's something like I totally believe that God gives us desires and ambitions for things and we should always test them according to the word and, you know, and prayer and, make sure it's not some like fleshly or something that's just us. But I believe that God uses or God refines our faithfulness in the small things in order to prepare us for more and for bigger things. And so, yeah, if you do, someone has a vision for something bigger, like doesn't mean you have to give up on it. Mm-hmm. Just be faithful to where you're at now. And it's possible that you could move on to that in the future.
Totally. And maybe that big thing is something that you don't see. Like what stood out when you were saying that to me is maybe that big thing that he's preparing you for and testing that faithfulness is a depth of relationship with him or some wisdom or something that you're going to use in a way that you're not even thinking on that level. You know, I've experienced that a couple different ways and, you know, you've got to kind of push in because you'll feel that connectedness and you'll be like, man, I just feel so close, so on fire. And then sometimes it's like, man, God, where are you? I feel like I'm alone here. I mean, I know I'm not. I trust what you say, but I feel that. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good indicator of like where you're at with that. Because if you feel that way, do you press in like, I'm going to just do whatever I can. I'm going to press in and find you. I'm going to get close to you in your word. I'm going to spend that time in prayer, even if I don't feel it. Or are you like, oh, well, I guess he's gone. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. That's for me, that's kind of how I'm indicating to myself, you know, how am I doing with this faithfulness thing right now? So, but yeah, just to kind of leave on another responsibility, I think that is our responsibility to start there because you're off on the wrong foot if you're not getting in the Word, spending that time to pray, you know, even any amount of time. But if you start your day with that and you're just like, man, Lord, like my favorite prayer is like, God, just go with me today. Help me to do what I need to do, say what I need to say, and just be with me. You know, I want the things that I want to work out to go well. So help me in that too, you know. And if you're kind of going that way, it's kind of hard to get off. You know, it's like you kind of just are aware of him. And that's a good thing, I think. And so even when you do feel a little disconnected, and sometimes I think he might use that, it just kind of pushes you harder towards him. Like when I think I talked about the nosebleed on the last recording, man, I pray more during that than I pray on a regular basis for sure. Cause I was just in so much pain and stuff. It's like, you don't want to find yourself in the moment where you need him be in the moment that you first go to him. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, keep that faithfulness. And what's that? It's in 2 Timothy. I can't remember chapter and verse. It might even be 1 Timothy, but fight the good fight of faith. Man, you got to stick with that.
Yes.
So that's a good one. But any last thoughts on that?
No, I don't think so. That was a solid closer there.
All right. Well, To all the listeners again, you know, if there's a topic you want us to cover, if you want to be on and talk with us, we'd love to have you. We're not getting flooded with requests right now, so we got some people lined up. But, yeah, definitely reach out to us. We'd love to hear your thoughts on things and have a conversation with you. And you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to know what you believe. We'll talk with you on any level. That's what this place is for. It's not just for us. It's for all of us. So email us or message in, and we'll have everything down in the description so you can get a hold of us, and hopefully we'll hear from you. All right. Everybody have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Firebrand Pursuit. This podcast exists to provide a platform to encourage passionate and candid conversations between Christians and people of other worldviews. We want to bring a Christian perspective that is firmly founded in biblical principles to bear in the setting of all social and theological issues that the church must contend with. We also want to discuss other worldviews and provide a safe space where those conversations can be shared in a mature and exciting fashion. This podcast was created by myself, Trevor Turk, and Kai Will Baines. Because we lack formal theological training, and the fact that we are not pastors or ministers, means that we find ourselves in a very similar position to the majority of the church and people in general.
We hope that by promoting thought in the church, we might better contend for the gospel within society. We also hope that by giving people of other worldviews a chance to share what they think and believe, we will both create a culture of healthy debate, as well as represent the gospel in the closest fashion to Christ that we can. These sincere and passionate desires are what drive us to share with you Firebrand Pursuit.